Greetings once again from St. Michael's Broadcast, and we continue today with this message of peace that has come to us in our time through the intercession of the Mother of God. And we are speaking of Our Lady's message at Bayside, the Lords of America. It is called a message of peace because it provides us with the solution against the threat of nuclear war. Our Lady's foremost request in these last days has been her urgent appeal that we keep the daily rosary going throughout our country and the world. Our Lady since Fatima has asked for the daily recitation of the rosary, but sadly, her requests have not been fulfilled. There are very few churches today, if any, where the rosary is preached from the pulpit. As a consequence of this, we see Our Lady's prophecy at Fatima beginning to unfold in our time with the massive buildup in the Middle East. Because if you'll recall from the Fatima message, Our Lady said that various nations would be annihilated in the end if her request for the daily rosary was not heeded. And how interesting to note that it was October 7th, the Feast of the Holy Rosary, that the United States officially went into Afghanistan. That was an omen and a direct sign from God, as if to say, your country is not saying the rosary, and peace therefore shall not be granted you. We might look at that as step one to an oncoming destruction, because it was exactly 1 year later, October 7th, the Feast of the Holy Rosary, that President Bush, in his national television address, voiced his decision that he wants to go to war now with Iraq. Again, this is a direct sign for the American people that the scepter of peace is being withdrawn from our country as a result of our failure to honor the rosary. Heaven is trying to bring a message across to us today that we need to say that rosary here in America. Mr. Bush certainly means well, but if he really wanted to avenge the ones who were responsible for September 11th, he would take his troops and his artillery and go after the international bully boys at the United Nations, because they are the ones who are orchestrating this international terrorism. Because they were deliberately set up as a coalition against God and country to try to bring about a new international one-world government. Their plan is to break down the system through violence and corruption so that we will eventually be forced to move into a new system where America relinquishes its national sovereignty. People like Saddam Hussein and bin Laden are just puppets in this international network of terror that is being orchestrated through the UN. And of course, this is all being done in conjunction with Russia, the scourge of mankind. And our president, Michael Mangan, has a few words to share with us now concerning this uncircumcised nation of Russia.
Hello, David, and to all of our listeners. This is the Vigil of the Immaculate Heart of Mary. And of course, this is a very special vigil or feast day for Marian devotees. And this really is the centerpiece of the Bayside message, you might say. Our Lady and our Lord have begged and pleaded that Russia be consecrated to the Immaculate Heart of Mary. And this dates back to the Fatima message of 1917, when our Lord asked that his mother be remembered and be honored in this special way. And that it's through devotion to the Immaculate Heart of Mary, through the consecration to this generous and beautiful heart, that the evil empire of Russia, of communism, that is, will be converted, and many souls will be saved, and the world will be spared from much evil and destruction as well. And so we pray that this be done, because in many circles and in many camps, they claim that this consecration has been done. And we know differently through the messages of Our Lady and Our Lord at Bayside. Far from being converted, Russia is on a path to destruction and bringing many with them, Our Lady said. That this is a big ruse that they are performing right now in the world, that they have not embraced democratic principles, but they are held on to their communist aspirations of one world government. And they will achieve it at any cost. And right now, they're tricking. They're duping the public. So we pray that they be exposed. We pray that our Lord's request at Fatima and here at Bayside be honored by our Holy Father and the bishops throughout the world, that Russia, specifically Russia, be consecrated to the Immaculate Heart of Mary. And David, it's a beautiful night here this evening. Really, it's a beautiful evening. And you might hear the prayers of the Holy Rosary rising to heaven. As a reminder to our listeners, the vigils are on the eves of the major feast days. They begin at 7:30 p.m. and go to 10:30 p.m. So it's 3 hours of constant rosary and hymns and litanies. that are rising to heaven. And it's also a beautiful moonlit evening as well. David, it's my pleasure to have with me Elizabeth Deering from Brooklyn, New York, a long time to have a tea. Good evening, Elizabeth.
Good evening, Michael.
And Elizabeth, when were you first introduced to the message of Bayside?
Oh, back in 1984. Someone left a message at the church, and they gave it to my mom, and my mom sent it over to me. And I went ahead and I wrote, and they sent me a packet, and it had a rosary beads, and it had a scapular, it had a rose petal, and it had a message, and also it had how to get here. So I told my husband, I said, would you please take me? So when I got here, they were praying the rosary, and I'm following it with it. And I'm saying to myself, my goodness, all this praying, you know. So finally we leave, and I look, first I asked our lady, I says, if it's true that you're appearing here, I'm not going to ask you to cure my back because I already offered up to God because I spent a year, almost a year in bed because of my back. I'm going to ask you to cure my soul because my soul needs more of a cure than my body.
So you issued a challenge to Our Lady. You laid down the gauntlet to Our Lady.
I said that, and I forgot about it, Michael. I really did. I forgot about it. And then I, as we were leaving, I looked back, and I said to myself, so long. All this praying is not for me. And I left. And I don't know what. It was like a magnet. It just drew me. The next month, I had my whole family here, you know. And then I started coming, you know, regularly to all the vigils. And they were asking people to make scapulars, you know. And I sew, and I started making scapulars. Gave it to family, gave it to friends. And I received a lot of graces and a lot of...
So you became hooked, as it were.
Oh, my goodness.
Our Lady grabbed you, and you just stuck. You stuck to the shrine?
I stuck.
The message stuck to you, and the graces stuck to you.
The graces stuck to me, the message. If it wasn't for the Blessed Mother, actually, Michael, my husband is here tonight, and 9 years ago, he was dying for 3 years. He was dying of cirrhosis of the liver. And 9 years ago, he got a liver on this feast day. And he's here tonight to give her thanks, you know, because it was
wonderful.
It was Our Lady of the Roses, because I would come and I would ask the fellows, please give me a rose. My husband is dying, and then I would tape it to his liver, and he got a liver transplant, and thank you God to Our Lady of the Roses, 9 years, and he's going strong. Really great miracle.
Now, Elizabeth, at the time, this is 1983, you're laid up with a herniated disc.
Yes.
Now, at the time, were you a practicing Catholic,
lapsed Catholic,
lukewarm?
I was not a practicing Catholic.
How long had you been away from the church?
Oh, maybe about 25 years or so, something like that.
Wow. Wow. This is, what an incredible testimony. What an incredible testimony to Our Lady at Bayside.
Oh,
so through the messages... What happened?
Here, I read the introductory booklet, and I read about the warning, the miracle, Jesus is coming, and I said to myself, oh my goodness, Jesus is around the corner. What am I going to do here? You know, what do I have to offer him? What do I have to give him? Nothing. So then I said to him, I said, it's obvious that you want me back. It's obvious. I says, either I make it now or I'll never make it. Either it's now or never. I says, but if you want me back, I need the whole court of heaven to help me. I says, I need everybody to help me because I have to make a drastic change in my lifestyle, okay? I have to be a different person. I have to be what our Lord and our Lady wants me to be, okay? I never went to Mass. I never liked going to Mass, things like that. I wasn't one for praying, stuff like that, you know. And sure enough, he got me back.
He did, boy. A wholesale conversion, I'll say that.
And Our Lady, because don't forget, I asked Our Lady to cure my soul.
So obviously, so you went to confession in 83 or 1984?
In 85 was when I made my first confession, general confession. It was on the Feast of St. Joseph. And I made a general confession, and the priest told me after about half hour confessing to him, he didn't give me any penance. He told me to go out and buy a cake. And I said, Father, why do you want me to buy a cake? It's Lent. I gave it up for Lent. So he says, I want you to celebrate. I said, why, Father? He says, because the whole court of heaven is celebrating right now because a sinner has returned to church. I said, oh, wow. You know, I went home and I had a little piece of cake with my mom, you know. And the next day when I went to church, I should have bought a whole box of tissue, Michael, because I cried and cried when I received communion. All I could say to the Lord, I said, Lord, I'm back. That's all I could say, Lord, I'm back. And the tears were just flowing, you know. It was like I was overwhelmed.
I can imagine.
And, oh, Michael, it was like I just couldn't stay away. I just, you know, it has changed my whole life.
Absolutely. What an overwhelming experience. And you're talking your first confession in 25 years or 26 years?
Yeah, whatever. Yeah, you know.
Amazing.
And to tell me, you know, I didn't know that the whole heaven is celebrating because a sinner has returned back to the church.
Well, our Lord says in Holy Scripture, there's one joy over one repentant sinner than 99 righteous.
Right. And, I've received so many graces and so many blessings through Our Lady, through our Lord, you know. I'd like to tell you one special thing. In 1991, like I said to you before, I was making scapulars and stuff, and I have a great devotion to Our Lady Mount Carmel. In 1991, my youngest boy, he was 22 years old at that time. They took off their scapulars. They wouldn't wear them anymore. So this 1991, let's go back to 1991, he stayed over a friend's house. The following day, he came home at 2 p.m. I says, what are you doing home, Daniel? And he had black soot on his forehead and on his hands. He says, Mom, I almost died in a fire. I said, what? What happened? He says, Mom, he says, I stayed over at my friend's house, and we put the mattresses on the floor. My friend lit a candle, and we all went to sleep. When I woke up this morning, he says, it was pitch black. I couldn't see. The mattress was in flames. So he woke everybody else up, and they doused the flames out, and he came home. And he was very shook up. So he looked at me, he says, Mom, I almost died in that fire. And I just looked at him straight in the eyes, and I said, Daniel, had you died in that fire, where would your soul be right now? So I said to him, son, now do you understand why I insist that you wear the brown scapular of Our Lady of Mount Carmel? Now do you know why? You don't know when you're going to go. Yes, you could have died in that fire, you know? And I said, now will you please put it on and never take it off? And he did. He put it on. And every time he would go on, Daniel, do you have your scapular? Yes, Mom, I have my scapular on, okay? Almost a year later, March 3rd, 92, two police officers ring my bell. I answered. And they said, do you have some by the name of Daniel Deering? I says, yes. And they put their heads down. They couldn't look at me. And one of them said, he expired. And it was like, I felt like somebody took a shotgun and blew me away.
This is a mother's worst fear, is to get that news. Yes, definitely, to get that type of news.
Oh, and so I knew he was not in a state of grace when he left. Okay, but I knew he was wearing the scapular. So what happened was They said he was running for the train. He tripped and he went down. And the two cars of the subway ran over him, amputated one leg, amputated one foot. He died there. When the paramedics came, they got his heart beating, okay? And when they got his heart beating, they took him to Bellevue Hospital. So I called Bellevue Hospital, and a young lady answered, and she said, can I help you? I said, yes. I said, can I speak to the Catholic chaplain? She says, oh, that's Father Greco. I said, okay. I says, could you have Father Greco call me back? So Father Greco calls me back, and he says, Mrs. Deering, forgive me, I don't have a name in my logbook for Tuesday, March 3rd. What I have is a young subway victim and a young construction worker. So, well, I'm getting the chills already. So I said to him, Father, the subway victim was my son. He says, I gave him the last rites of the church at 9:45, and Daniel died at 10:30. So I was like ecstatic, you know, oh, it was Our Lady. I was very ecstatic about that.
What a wonderful grace. I mean, unbelievable.
And so I says, gee, Father. I says, you know, Father, he was wearing the brown scapula. He says to me, how strange. He says, I am a Carmelite priest. Well, the goosebumps again.
Our Lady has said at Bayside that she would give us the graces to rescue our brothers and sisters, or in this case, our sons and daughters. And through your instrumentation, through your prayers here, of a mother, it obviously did reach your son. I mean, he obviously agreed to put the bronze scapula on, yes, after his lesson that he learned in 91. He was wearing it for a year. And then when he met with tragedy, he had the bronze scapula on, got the last rites. He didn't die instantly. He obviously had time to express his sorrow, to say an act of contrition, apparently. And he got the last rites, the blessing of the church. I mean, what a tremendous consolation. I mean, you got the message a mother never wants to hear. How did you cope with this?
When they came, I went upstairs to my room. I have an altar in my room. And I grabbed the Sacred Heart of Jesus and I says, Lord, I offer this sacrifice for the youth of the world today. That's what all I could do. I offered that sacrifice for the youth of the world.
This is amazing, Elizabeth, your presence of mind. I mean, can you imagine if you weren't introduced to Bayside and you did not have the faith that you have now? I mean, the graces you've received, it obviously held you up and inspired you.
Oh, it did. Absolutely, Michael. It inspired me so much, and it still does, and it keeps coming. The graces keep coming. There's always something that goes on.
Very inspiring, truly, Elizabeth. This is very inspiring, and the fact that immediately after this, you made that offering to our Lord. I mean, unfortunately, so many people become hostile and embittered and angry at God. And here now, you give the perfect example. You accepted it as God's will. You embraced it. Great peace of mind descended upon you. Yes. And on the contrary, you made a very active promise to our Lord that you offered him to the Sacred Heart of Jesus.
Yes, I did. Yes.
A very active role here. Amazing. And amazing.
I offered this sacrifice for the youth of the world today because he was so young and beautiful.
What type of ripple effect has this had on your family? Now, was your husband away from the church as well?
Yes.
Now, did he return as a result too?
Yes. Yes, he did.
Wow. So that's a double whammy.
Yes,
and
double whammy, and I have...
A two for one, right?
Oh, yeah. I have so many. Oh, my goodness.
Wow. So you...
So many miracles here, and it's so awesome. I love coming here. I do. It's so peaceful.
Well, I can see why, because look at the graces you've got and you have shared them with others, and the fact that you were able to accept that tragedy, almost embrace it.
Yes.
in a spiritual way, and you turned it around. You turned the tables on the devil, as it were, and you offered it to our Lord. A beautiful, beautiful, inspiring story, a great witness. Our Lady at Bayside carried you through.
Oh, definitely, definitely.
Where would you be without it?
I don't know.
Many of us would be on the road to perdition were it not for Our Lady of the Roses at Bayside, truly.
No, truly, I mean...
Elizabeth, you mentioned you were on the grounds one time. It was pouring rain out.
Rain.
You were loaded down with some pamphlets, some pro-life literature.
Yeah, 200.
200 pro-life literature. And my son gave me his poncho that he wore for the football games. And I came with my girlfriend. So... what I did, it was drizzling, you know, but the umbrella, I couldn't hold the paper and the umbrella at the same time and give it to the people. So I put the poncho on her and I covered her, and she had a big umbrella, okay? And I said, well, I don't care if I get wet, you know, doesn't matter if I get wet. And I just went along, and I would have to bend over and I would ask the people where they were from. Ohio, Michigan, California, New Jersey, Philadelphia, all around the states the people were from, you know. I said, well, this is a campaign against abortion. And they would take it, you know. It took me about an hour and a half. And at one point I stood up and all I saw was black umbrellas. You know, everybody had umbrellas on.
So it was raining buckets right at that point?
It must have been raining buckets, but I didn't see it and I didn't feel it. So I go back to my girlfriend, and she's holding on to her skirt. And I said to her, why are you holding your skirt? I said, you had the poncho on, you had the umbrella. What's wrong with your skirt? She says, it's sopping wet. Well, how could you get sopping wet? Oh, it was sticking out. I didn't know it. And Michael, you could wring it, and the water was coming out. And when I looked at myself, I kind of like I was in shock because I was bone dry. It was only damp on the top of my head. I was bone dry. And then I stayed to hear the message because Veronica was here. And then it started raining again. Still, I didn't get wet. You could have thrown a bucket at me, Mike, and I would have gotten wet.
So,
it was some miracle. I'm telling you that right now.
And some shield. And, of course, our Lord was giving his approval for passing out the pro-life brochures.
Yeah, for sure. And also, I saw the miracle of the lights.
What do you mean, the miracle of lights and that blue?
They're like flashes of light, and they were going all over the circle there on the trees. They were blue. They were crystal clear. They were like going on and off, on and off.
How long do they last?
Maybe 10, 15 minutes. I don't know, but I witnessed them for a long time.
This is during the vigil, of course.
During the vigil.
God bless you, Elizabeth. Your final comments to our listeners in Radio Land.
If you can make it here to the grounds, you'll have so many blessings and so many graces. And, you know, spiritual, wonderful spiritual things will happen to you. You know?
Thank you so much, Elizabeth, and God bless you. And obviously a lot of spiritual and blessings happened in your life, that's for sure. Thank you, and God bless you.
What's going on? It's still going on, Mike.
Absolutely. This is ongoing, Elizabeth, right? It's ongoing.
It's ongoing.
You are listening to St. Michael's Broadcast, and that was our president, Michael Mangan, speaking with longtime pilgrim Elizabeth Deering on the sacred grounds at Bayside. And, of course, this is the site of the Virgin Mary's apparitions during these latter days. For a span of 25 years, beginning in 1970, the Blessed Virgin would appear on these sacred grounds to her servant, Veronica of the Cross. Veronica was used as an instrument from heaven to transmit heaven's message to the world in these last days. As Our Lady has said in her message repeatedly, there is to come upon the world a great chastisement. This comes in two parts. First, there will be 3 days of nuclear World War III. This will break out in the Middle East. And then, on the following 3 days, there will be complete darkness over the earth upon being planet-struck by the ball of redemption. That's a fiery comet sent from God. And Our Lady in her message has said, this comet is on the way. And she has said that World War III is on the way. The great chastisement is on the way. And so, hence, it is the objective of all heaven to reach mankind with this message from heaven. Those that would be interested in receiving this by mail can write to us. Send your letters to St. Michael's World Apostolate, P.O. Box 514, Bayside, New York, 11361, or you can call toll-free, that's 1-800-345-MARY. Included in your packet is a rose petal that has been blessed on the sacred grounds that has attached with the power of cure and conversion. There is no cost to receive the information, but again, we do remind you that your financial assistance is necessary to keep this program on the air. So if you'd like to see this program continue each week over the station, then send along your gift offerings today made payable to St. Michael's World Apostolate, and again, we do remind you that your donation is tax deductible. We also invite you to visit us at www.smwa.org. And by going to our website, this will give you an opportunity to get an in-depth look at this beautiful story of grace and peace that has unfolded in our time. That mailing address again for all the information, St. Michael's World Apostolate, P.O. Box 514, Bayside, New York, 11361. That's St. Michael's World Apostolate, Post Office Box 514, Bayside, New York, 11361. And that just about wraps it up for today. Please join with us next week as we continue with this urgent message of Jesus and Mary to the world. Until then, may Our Lady bless you, and may she shower you with graces in abundance.